hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
Good evening and welcome to Issues of Life this evening. We thank God for another edition, and indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way Saturday evenings from now till 9:30 p.m. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you. We'll talk about some of the things happening in the world this week, the news, and then we'll discuss a few things along those lines. This week, a lot has been happening in various ways, from the extreme weather in the world, wars, rumors of wars, Israel, Palestinian skirmishes. As for the big war, the Ukrainian war, they are still on there. And then China also flexing their muscles over Taiwan. It's a whole lot. The world economy turning upside down. And these are the times that we have to understand what is happening. And we have to understand what is coming. And then we have to know that it's only God that can take us through this period, this season. So tonight I'll be talking a bit more about this. So let's first look at some of the news. Quickly, South Korea has just experienced the heaviest rain in 115 years. Extreme weather indeed. So record-setting heavy rain hit South Korea and surrounding areas Monday night and Tuesday morning, wreaking havoc across the region. The rainfall, the highest amount recorded in Seoul in 115 years, left several dead and displaced thousands. Extreme weather. I mean, so the scientists and, you know, society now calls it global warming, but I will call it global warning. God is warning creation through a whole lot of things happening. If only we can get the code and the signal of what God is saying. Drought in England. Fires rage in France as heat wave persists. This is one headline. Terrifying moment as fire races across towards French firemen battling monster blaze amid record-breaking European drought that has dried up rivers, melted glaciers, and ravaged farmland. That's one subtitle of a news headline. So another one says, horrifying droughts causing widespread crop failures throughout US and Europe. Let me see if I can read excerpts of that one. Okay, that one says, we really are reaching a major crisis point thanks to soaring fertilizer prices, insane weather patterns, and the war in Ukraine. Global food supplies have been getting tighter and tighter. So we really needed a banner year for agricultural production in the US and Europe in 2022, and that is not going to happen. In fact, unprecedented drought is absolutely devastating crops all over the Northern Hemisphere. A lot of people are complaining about how high food prices are right now. But just wait. If it's some sort of a miracle doesn't happen, agricultural production is going to be way below expectations in both the United States and in Europe. And that is going to have very serious implications for 2023. Let's start by taking account of the nightmare that is starting to unfold in Europe. According to CNN, it's now being projected that farmers in Italy have lost up to 80% of their harvest because of the drought being so severe. In Italy, farmers in some parts of the country have lost up to 80% of their harvest this year due to severe weather anomalies, according to the Cordurati Farming Association on Thursday. How are those farmers going to survive? Many farmers in France are facing similar losses because they have only been receiving a fraction of a rainfall that they normally get. In France, where an intense drought has hammered farmers and prompted widespread limits on fresh water use, there were just 9.7 millimeters of rain last month, according to Meteo France. That was 84% down the average level seen for July between 1991 and 2022, making it the driest month since 1961, according to the agency. Crop failures in France will be a really big deal because France is normally a fourth largest exporter of wheat in the entire world. France, being the largest exporter of wheat among the top five exporters of maize globally, poor harvests due to drought may heap further pressure on grain supplies after Russia's invasion of Ukraine caused global shockwaves. The situation in Germany is also extremely dire. It's been reported that things are already so bad that some sections of the Rhine River have dropped to dangerously low levels. Germany's most important river is running dry as Europe suffers through a drought that is on course to become its worst in 500 years, with terrifying wildfires burning once again in France. Water levels in Rhine, which carries 80% of all goods transported by water in Germany from its industrial heartlands in Dutch ports, are now so low that it could become impassable to barges later this week, threatening vital supplies of oil and coal that the country is relying upon as Russia turns off the gas tap. Of course, the U.S. is dealing with severe drought too. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, about half of the nation is experiencing some level of drought at this moment, and we are being told that the ongoing mega drought in the Southwest is the worst in 1,200 years. Things are particularly bad in Texas. If you can believe it, Dallas had a stretch in which they had no measurable rain at all for two straight months. The daily highs in Dallas have been 95 degrees Fahrenheit or higher for three straight weeks, much hotter than normal for this time of the year. The Dallas-Fort Worth area has even more problems amid the extreme drought going as far back as May 17th. So 100% of Dallas County is in an extreme drought, while 21% of the whole state is experiencing exceptional drought, the most intense category of drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. A 67-day stretch with no measurable rain came to an end in Dallas on Wednesday when 0.41 of an inch of rain fell, which was the second longest dry streak in Dallas-Fort Worth area. It goes on and on. So the drought pressing Texas agricultural industry, which is responsible for 10% of the state's gross domestic product, is pushing farmers and ranchers to the brink. The state's 247,000 farms and ranches covering 127 million acres haven't had a whole year of rain since 2017. Almost 24 million of Texas population lives in the drought-facing areas. As of the 1st of August, less than 1% of the state was not facing more level of drought of abnormal dryness. So this is a summary of the U.S. and Europe situations, and it's serious, extremely serious. Okay, so the next one, more pestilences continue to emerge across the planet. That's one headline. In 2022, a bird flu pandemic has killed tens of millions of chickens and turkeys. Monkeypox outbreak has already spread to more than 90 countries all over the globe. Confirmed cases of Marburg virus has been reported in parts of Africa, and a very serious disease that were once almost entirely eradicated are popping up even in the Western world. And this week, we had a new virus coming up from, you know, coming up in China, almighty China. So new Nipah virus found in humans in China. So a new virus known as Lanya Nipah virus, that's living, that's the code, like the short form, has been found in 35 patients in China. A new correspondence from Chinese and Singaporean scientists published in the New England Journal of Medicine revealed on Thursday. The virus is a Nipah virus and is a relative of the Hendra and Nipah viruses, which are already known to infect humans and cause fatal disease. The virus is most closely related to the Muenjang Nipah virus. 26 of the patients were infected only with the living, suffered from fever, fatigue, coughing, anorexia, muscle aches and pain, nausea, headache, and vomiting, as well as thrombocytopenia, and then leukopenia, and then impaired liver and kidney functions. And so far, China, this place is zero. So, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, as believers, we should not be surprised by this. Jesus said it, that there will be pestilences. So, before he comes, that's how the world is going to be. We are going to keep hearing more viruses coming, propping up from various parts of the world. And one report was saying that due to the heat, the way the temperature is rising extremely, it's even going to cause even more problems with these viral spreads and all that. But well, we look up to God. He is the one who can protect us. Okay, so thousands of homes run out of water and firms send dire tests warning of more shortages as part of UK officially plunge into drought, with shops rationing supplies to stop panic buying amid high temperatures. So you see some of the news, people have queued to buy bottled water. And I say, hey, interesting. No? I was having a chat with a pastor friend yesterday, and he said, you see, the way these Western societies are suffering with these type of things, they've not had, you know, they are not used to. You open your tap, water is not coming. You have to take a bucket, go and fetch water. They are not used to these things. So they will really struggle under these conditions. But if you are in a country like ours, that you can go for weeks without water in some areas, I mean, this is nothing new. But it's extreme issues that they are facing there. Extreme temperatures and, you know, dry water, water shortages and all that. But you see, this is the new world we are in. These extremes of temperatures. I saw one headline that said that water chaos in Surrey, that's part of UK, as residents are forced to queue up for bottles after technical issues caused the taps to run dry at hundreds of homes a day after drought was officially declared. So you see them in the queue, you know, waiting to get water bottles, or bottled water rather. And it's that's the world. But you know, as I was saying, these extremes are not going to end. No, There's been countless warnings from the Lord that this is the new world we are in. And He, God, is allowing these things to happen, these extremes. You know, God is doing everything to get the attention of humanity. And so that's how it is. I mean, these things are going to happen. And it won't stop. It's going to actually get worse. It's going to worsen. You see, we'll get to the point where we'll know that, yes, there is someone in charge. Someone created the earth. They can call it the climate change as they want and blame humans, fossil fuel, aeroplanes, and industries for all these things. But no, the reality is God who is in charge. And He's getting our attention, or He's trying to get our attention as to whether we'll pay attention, we'll take heed. That's the next issue. But as believers, we have to understand the times and what is happening. And we have to know that the things happening and unfolding, man cannot help us. I mean, anyway, I'll get there. That's the main thing I'll be talking about after the news, anyway. So Russian TV warns of Armageddon at the nuclear plant and threatens to bomb London. So Russia has warned Armageddon could be on the horizon in a terrifying warning aired on state TV. The ominous message was released after tensions around the Zaporizhia atomic power plant grew this week. Ukrainian leaders accused Russia of deliberately shelling the plant, which is the biggest in Europe. And then Russia denies the charges and claims it is Ukraine risking nuclear catastrophe by shelling the plant. But there are fears Putin's forces will blame a disaster on the plant on Ukraine and use it as a pretext to deepen the conflict. Now, Russian President Vladimir Putin's largest state-controlled TV channel has given airtime to the leader of the pro-Kremlin Ukrainian movement's Paros, and then who claimed it was Kiev in the West jeopardizing the nuclear safety. He urged Putin to be ready to fire nuclear missiles at London and Washington. We all understand very well that Ukraine and the West are concocting a fictional reality over Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, he said on Channel 1. And because of the tension that is building up around the nuclear power plant, hundreds are fleeing from the area. And that is quite a serious issue because there have been about 10 attacks, so firing missiles and all that towards the plant. So this is the largest nuclear plant, so you can imagine. And yeah, I think if something really goes bad, the ripple effect is going to be something else. Nuclear is not a small thing. So, well, it's all part of the war. They are doing their things, and the blame game is on. But, well, we can just watch from afar. And then some persecution things happening in Vietnam, where groups or Christians in the Vietnam part of are suffering severe persecution. So severe persecution of Hmong Christians, like that the name, the group, is underway in the Nghi An province in Vietnam. In the central Vietnam province, officials vying with each other to create Christian-free zones, operate with no conscience or humanity, as if they were in a different country than the one whose religious freedom measures they are violating, Christian leaders say. Authorities put immense pressure on animist relatives to drive Christians from their houses, exiling them from family, livelihood, and community with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Some Christians have been forcibly separated from spouse and children, home and fields. Sometimes even their wedding rings if they persist in their faith. Then officials wash their hands and say these outrages are purely family matters. The only way out is for the offending Christians to recant and revert to the animist practices of their ancestral religion. Most steadfastly refuse to give up their newfound faith, which they testify has freed them from the demonic oppression. More often than individuals, it is an entire extended Christian families who are driven from their homes. But earlier this month, one mother was separated from caring for her two children. Wow. Though only 33 years, Laoya Pa has two teenage sons whom she was unable to contact. When Morning Star News met with her on July 10th, wet tissues were piled in front of her as she had just returned or learned of another newly Christian relative, Lei Tong, has suffered the same fate. Such suffering, which has been quietly going on for years, especially in the Anyan province, has hit many members of the not yet legally recognized Vietnam Good News Mission Church, and that's VNGNMC, and the officially recognized Evangelical Church of the Vietnam North. The VNGNMC connects its victims with congregations and Christians are able to shelter with them in the principal capital of Vinh, or in Saigon, or in Hanoi. Both church organizations report the worst violations of religious liberty are taking place in the Khai Son district communities, and then two extended families of 13 and 19 people in the villages, adjoining villages respectively, have been regularly pressured and persecuted since April, when they were officially accepted as members of the government-recognized church. So gangs of top officials and police officers numbering up to 20 come repeatedly, sometimes in the middle of the night, browbeating and bullying them and threatening worse unless they return to the spirit worship. Refusal to recant for these families has meant the season of their livestock, crops, fields, and farm machinery and equipment, and then the ransacking of their homes and cutting off their electricity. It has resulted even in refusal to let them or let their neighbors charge their phones. In the worst cases, villages are pressured into seizing all the Christians' property and driving them out of their community. This has happened regularly to ethnic minority families in various parts of northern Vietnam in recent years. Such treatment leaves less photographical evidence than beatings, but has graver consequences. And the church leaders have appealed to local officials and federal agencies to redress or address the issue. But, you know, since, you know, a lot of these government officials themselves are in these religions, it goes nowhere. And this is the persecution that Christians are facing in northern Vietnam. And in other parts of the world, it's happening. Now the numbers, more countries are falling into this category where Christians are being abused and all that. Fortunately for us, yes, we have our peace today. We have our freedom to serve God any way, anyhow we want, as many times as we want. But the truth is, it will not be forever. One day, that's how it will be. Christians all over the world will be hunted down and will be... The way these Christians are being treated in Vietnam, that will be the standard treatment for Christians anywhere in the world or any country in the world. The hatred, this is what Jesus said himself, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We've not reached there. It has started in some places, but we've not reached the point where Jesus was actually describing where you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's a whole issue where Christians will be hated. To be a Christian will be a crime by law. Laws will be set up, or laws will be enacted to make it illegal to have the Bible. And to, I mean, all these things are in the times ahead. Not too distant, though, but eventually we'll get there. behind the scenes plans are, laws are being, you know, these things, of course, not in Ghana now, not in Ghana, but a time will come where it will come from above in terms of from the UN side, where countries are signatories to, and so some of these things will come in a much unassuming ways. And, you know, because it has spiritual dimensions and connotations, it will just spread like wildfire. Anyway, we'll get there. Terrorists kill elderly Christian and kidnap others in northern Nigeria. That's what this Nigeria issue. Suspected Muslim terrorists in northern Nigeria killed an 86-year-old Christian in his home on August 2nd and kidnapped two others who were later released, likely after ransom payments, according to sources. The gunman killed Daniel Yatai at his home in predominantly Christian Machok village, Kaduna State, shortly after 11 p.m., according to his son, Philip Daniel Yatai, who said the assailants kidnapped his niece, 21-year-old Brenda Friday. Brenda Friday, okay, that's the name. And then the terrorists forcefully broke into their home as they were already sleeping, shot their dad, and kidnapped my niece, Yatai told Morning Star News. They phoned us on Wednesday morning asking for a ransom of 15 million naira. Whoa, that's big. That's $35,845 before my niece can be released. While not disclosing whether a ransom was paid, Yatai on August 5th confirmed that his niece had been released. Also kidnapped from his home in Machok in August 2nd, and held for ransom was another man, Amos Magon, a rector of a federal school of statistics in that area, who was also released the same day. You know, it just goes on and on. The issue in Nigeria, we can only pray for them. We can only pray for them. It's worrying. Because it's like, now that the government has lost nothing, the government is just not doing anything about it. And just watching, and it just keeps going on, and it's worsening by the day, and it's that bad. Pastor faces death threats in Uganda after leading dozens of Muslims to Christ. So a month after a Christian was killed in Kiboga district in Uganda, a pastor in the same district fears for his life following death threats from Muslim extremists, said Pastor Godfrey Semuju, who oversees 130 LM Pentecostal churches in Kiboga district, 75 miles northwest of Kampala, said the lives of his family and church members are also in danger. Quote, "I'm worried and very fearful," unquote, Pastor Samuju said. He said that one of the text messages read, quote, "We warn you to stop converting our people to Christianity. If you continue doing this, then take note that taking your life is a jama. No, it's a jana." Okay, that's the Quranic paraphrase in the afterlife. So after killing you, Allah will reward us with it. So Pastor Simuju has received such messages for 3 months, with the threats increasing after his preaching at open-air events and one-on-one conversations in June and July led to 70 Muslims turning to Christ. He said some of the converts are teachers in Muslim elementary schools. Oh, okay. So, I see. His churches have undergone a series of attacks in the past few months. On July 25th, assailants killed tens of head of livestock belonging to one of the church members. On July 6th, Muslim extremists attacked Robert Brenny, who succumbed to his injuries on July 10th at age 28, and the assistant pastor, Ambrose Mushiga, seriously wounding his head. And on June 26th, Muslim extremists demolished a church building in the village and threatened to kill Pastor James. Then the so Pastor Sinuju said 14 Muslims have threatened his life. And then, wow, they need prayers. They need our prayers to keep up the faith and to keep up the work. It's not an easy thing. But, you know, They are still enduring it and doing it. Now, this last news item, which is a survey or lucky last but one news item. It's interesting because the surveys that have been coming out in recent times are all not in good taste when it comes to these Christian surveys. 2/3 of younger adults with a commitment to Christ don't attend church, according to a survey. So a strong majority of Generation Z and then millennials who say they have made a personal commitment to Christ do not attend church in person or online at least once a month, according to a new study. The August edition of the State of the Bible, USA 2022, reports from the American Bible Society finds that 40% of Generation Z or Z adults ages 18 and over attend church primarily online. They were followed closely by 36% of churchgoers ages 77 and up. However, the report suggests that Generation Z and millennials who have made a meaningful commitment to Jesus, about 66%, do not attend church either in person or online at least once a month. The study produced 2,598 responses from a representative sample of adults 18 and older within all 50 states in the District of Columbia, collected from January 10 to 28, 2022. Generation Z is defined as those ages 10 to 25 years, as in 2021, in the year 2021, whilst millennials are defined as ages 26 to 41 as at last year. So whilst more than half, that's 54% of all adults up to 57 years, said they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, that is still important in their life today. Fewer than 1/3 of those in the 3 youngest generations who have made that commitment are practicing Christians. This should challenge every Christian and ministry leader to intentionally cultivate relationships with their younger neighbors, who are often seeking security and hope amidst ever-increasing anxiety, said John Plake, Director of Ministry Intelligence for the American Bible Society. It's our prayer that every generation is able to meaningfully connect with the Word of God, engaging with it as a way of life, and actively living out their faith in the community. Practicing Christians were defined as those who identify as Protestants or Catholics, consider their faith very important to them, and attend religious services at least once a month. Non-practicing Christians identify as Christians but fall short of at least one of those areas, the importance of faith or church attendance. 61% of non-practicing Generation Z Christians said they have made a personal commitment to Christ, while 57% of millennial counterparts say the same. Only 28% of Generation Z respondents said they attend church at least once a month, while 22% of millennials said the same. Only 13% of Generation Z and 12% of millennials respondents were considered scripture engaged. Then Generation X, that 75%, is the most scripture-engaged generation among practicing Christians. According to the survey, those considered non-practicing Christians are far more likely than practicing Christians to attend church services online. Whilst practicing Christians prefer in-person services, non-practicing Christians are about as likely to attend online as in-person. According to the survey's definitions of practicing versus non-practicing Christians, nearly half of all American adults, that's 46%, fall into the non-practicing category. You might consider them the sleeping giants of the church, according to the survey. They have some contact with the Bible or the church, and they know some things about Jesus, yet they are saying they long to know more. How will churches respond? How will publishers, charities, schools, and creative artists step up to this curiosity? According to the survey, half of the Generation Z respondents said they wish they read the Bible more. And 55% said they are curious to know more about Jesus. Among the non-practicing Christians, Generation Z was the or has the highest percentage of people saying they are increasing, they increased their Bible reading in the past year. That's 17%. And also the highest percentage who said they've decreased their Bible reading is 20%, the report said. This may indicate a certain volatility as they make choices around or about their spirituality and reading habits. The State of the Bible findings closely mirrored a report from the Pew released in March, which showed in-person church attendance has stagnated after churches reopened following the COVID pandemic shutdown. In July 2020, a few months after the pandemic lockdowns began, according to the report, 13% of U.S. adults said they attended religious services in person the previous month. In March 2021, Pew reported that the figure had increased by 4 percentage points to 17%. And in September 2021, the share of adults who said they've attended a religious service in the last month or the past month rose to 26%. But in March 2022, the share of Americans who attended religious services in person in previous months was 27%, just slightly higher than 26% reported last September. The study also mirrors a 2019 Barna study, which finds that two-thirds of American young adults who attended a Pentecostal church regularly for at least a year as teenager said they dropped out of church for at least a year between the ages 18 and 22. Only 34% said they continue to attend church twice or a month or more. Among the top reasons they listed for dropping out of church and where they moved away to college, church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical, and they didn't feel connected to the people in the church. They disagreed with the church's stance on social issues, or their work responsibilities prevented them from attending. Among young adults who attended church regularly for at least 1 year as a teenager, 31% are currently attending twice or once a month or more, suggesting there is a 69% chance that teenagers who drop out of church won't return. And that is worrying. These statistics, largely, yes, these are U.S. numbers, but unfortunately, we don't do these surveys in Ghana. But if we are to do it among the Christian population, the margins will not be too different. Because the society are thinking, the body of Christ, the way we are behaving is similar. And this is, you know, these statistics is really, really worrying. The first question that comes to mind is, why would people not want to go to church? Even though they know they should go, they are Christians, they claim they are Christians and all. The answer is simple. They don't feel, if they don't feel much, if they miss it, what's the big deal? They don't feel any loss. Assuming the power of God, there was the presence of God was really functioning in church, you know that it will draw people. It will draw the crowds. But largely, churches have become social centers. So if you miss it, you don't miss anything. I mean, it's like, what's the big deal? But if the fire was really burning, Holy Spirit presence active, I mean, overflowing, His presence, uncontrolled presence, you know that this one, you went to church, you know that God came to church. You really, really can feel it. You know. Next week, you would want to go. Next 2 weeks, you would want to go. But when church is boring and one way you don't feel any power, it's like virtually a dead situation. This is what happens. This survey is a true reflection of the state of the church. There's no fire in the church. The church has become boring. Church has become just social center. Sunday, we just go just to please our conscience, largely, that we are Christians. So if you don't go to church, it's like you are some way. So we force ourselves, dress, go, and, you know, sing. But, you know, you realize there is some dryness in the body of Christ, largely. The exceptions, of course. I mean, I'm not saying every church, but largely, this is the reality. See, a lot of the worship is just, you are just singing. It's dry. I mean, you can do that. There's no connection. It's not connecting. Something is wrong. So you see, under such circumstances, these surveys are not any surprise, because that's the direct resultant effect. Because people are just reacting to the reality on the ground. Because if they go to church and they don't feel anything, they don't feel the presence of God, the messages, they don't feel, I mean, nothing really cutting them. It's just one way. So then gradually they pull out. And this is the reality. See, so that's why churches are struggling. The numbers are low. After COVID cried, it's like worse cry. It's not good. But that's why the revival is coming. Because when the revival comes, churches will overflow. Because people will know that the presence of God is here. The power of God is available. People will know. People will feel it. People will sense it when they are getting their healings, miracles. People are being delivered. I mean, where you know that God is moving. People even go to church before the time. When they say 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, the place is already full. You know, when we treated this as revival, Pastor Roger, we were talking about some of these things, the Irish, I mean, all these revivals, the Azusa Street and things. You read about them. The places were full to capacity because of the power of God. So, you see, when the power comes, I mean, the churches will be full. People who stop going to church, they will all run back to church. You see, and I believe such statistics, if we are to do them here, and we realize that, that when I was reading it, there was a part where they stated, like, pastors have work to do. And that's the truth. These numbers also now show that there is an indictment on church leaders, on pastors and church leaders, because it also shows that there's something wrong. I mean, that's the bottom line. It shows there's something wrong. Let me finish the last news item. Take a quick break. Okay, so the last one. I think there are some churches that we have to stop calling them churches, because nowadays they've gone off. Episcopal Church passes resolution in favor of sex reassignment at all ages. God have mercy on our church. The Episcopal Church passed a resolution in support of sex change attempts at all ages, calling it a matter of religious liberty. So Resolution D-066, passed by the 80th General Convention, is titled Addressing Restrictions on Access to Gender-Affirming Care. The House of Bishops has concurred with the resolution. It calls for the Episcopal Church to advocate for access to gender-affirming care in all forms, social, medical, or any other, at all ages. It goes on to say that advocating for sex change operations is part of our baptismal call to respect the dignity of every human being. The resolution specifically affirms that all Episcopalians should be able to partake in gender-affirming care with no restriction on movement, autonomy, or timing. The Episcopal Church also opposes laws that prohibit people, including children, from being medically assisted in their attempts to change their sex. No, something is not right. What the Episcopal Church refers to as gender-affirming care includes medical interventions, such as the use of puberty blockers, hormone replacement therapy, as well as surgeries that permanently damage fully functioning body parts or that seek to change one's face shape. Breitbart News has documented several instances in which directors of transgender health clinics, some of which are associated with children's hospitals, have received significant funding from pharmaceutical companies that manufacture puberty blockers. Lupron, one of the drugs most commonly used as a puberty blocker, has been used to chemically castrate sex offenders. Meanwhile, puberty blocking drug Soprelin LA has been found to carry the risk of causing brain swelling and permanent vision loss, according to the Food and Drug Administration. The Episcopal Church's resolution was proposed by Evangeline Warren, a PhD student at Ohio State's Department of Sociology. Warren has dedicated much of her academic career to racial and sexual topics. So when she proposed it, then the bishops too. Hey, what a world. You know, it's this gender changing thing. You see, and look at it, all ages. So they are now even saying that if a 3-year-old says, I want to change my gender, it's welcome. Go ahead. They will encourage you to do it. And it's getting worse. You know, I saw one news this week. One American Federation of Teachers are promoting the use of a pronoun card, which included a question on whether the students wanted their parents to know about their pronouns. So it's like when the child says no, then they will help the child to hide their new identity. So it's like the child can be called in school, they, them, but to the parents, it's him or he or she and her. But in school, then they will cover up and then she'll be using the they, them, or whichever, the Z's, I's, whatever, those strange words they want to use for themselves. So it's like the children are even being encouraged and helped in the public schools and not. The society is just off. You know, for those who don't understand why this LGBT thing is really making trending waves and all that, you see, the devil knows his game and he is very smart at it. That's one way they are using to stop procreation in the world. Then two, that is the highest form of insult to the Creator. So now it's like it's an affront to God, challenging God. So we also, yes, you made me a man, but I'll turn myself into a woman. I also show you, science will also show you that we can also create. I mean, if you want to create, start from afresh. I mean, create a whole new baby, fresh, everything. Put all the parts, the body parts in there, everything, the heart, the blood, create your own. But don't take the one that God has created and you make changes and you want to insult God that, yes, you've also created a human being. Oh, no. So, you see, this whole thing is to stop procreation. So, if you take the LGBT, the L, they can't give birth, except they do, you know, their biological stuff. The G, too, they can't give birth, except they adopt. And then the T, L, G, B, okay, then the B is the one who makes great, whatever they want, they can. But then the transgender is even the one that is the most difficult of all in terms of changing what God has actually created, man into woman, woman into man. And that is being pushed at all levels. Yes, let the worldly people do it. But when the church now begins to embrace it and encourage it, then you know that the church is in trouble. The body of Christ is in trouble. And, you know, soon God is going to really, really, really sweep these things away. I mean, God is really going to start striking. Judgment is going to begin in the house of the Lord. Oh, yes. And I mean, this mess in the body of Christ is not going to be tolerated for long. God will start striking. And God will start sanitizing his church. Yes, they can call themselves any other name, but they shouldn't affirm themselves and link themselves to God. But they can, you can just create your, call yourself any society or whatever your society. Don't tag yourself with God, because you are really making God angry by this behavior, and he will not look on forever. No, the judgment will start. It will start in the house, and when these house cleaning operations start, then there will be sanity in the body of Christ, because God will have to prepare his bride. The current state of the church is no, is the current state of, is nowhere near ready for the coming of Lord, of Christ. So this current church, we are nowhere near ready. Nowhere near ready. So God will have to refine us and purify us and prune us. And that is the one process where there will be a falling away. Some will have to leave because they can't fit in the process of house cleaning. And, you know, it's very unfortunate, but that's how things have to be. Because, I mean, God cannot accept this. This LGBT thing, no, it's not acceptable. And it's sad when you see people trying to justify why it's okay and God is okay with it. I mean, come on. God cannot be okay with it. Anyway, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short interlude, and with this song.
I'm no longer a slave. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me. Deliverance from my enemies until all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no child of God.
beautiful song by Zach Williams, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear. You know, fear is a spirit. I mean, we all know. And you can easily be enslaved by it if you allow yourself. And, you know, look at the state of the world, look at Ghana, look at the economy, the situation. You know, we've gotten to the point, and we are going to get to the point, but started. We are in a season, we've gotten to the point where you cannot look up to man to help you, to save you in the situation. Because the truth is, even the government can't save the situation. I mean, it's beyond them. That's the truth. It's beyond them. I mean, when I hear the politicians talking and it's like sounding too very confident and all that, I just laugh. Because the whole thing is above them. No, they can't do anything. It's beyond them. But we believers, we know where our source of strength and our source of help is. And it's from the Lord. So we are not looking up to men to help us, but it's God that we have to look up to. That's the times we are in now. You know, it's important to understand that, because you see, we can easily walk in the misguided perception that, oh, things are improving, things are going to improve. The word of God doesn't say so. I mean, things are going to get worse. That's what Jesus said. I mean, if you read Matthew 24 critically, it paints the state of the world in the end times. And, you know, if you look at it critically, you look at the sequence of things clearly, it doesn't paint a picture of the world being, you know, comfortable and all at peace and all that. No. The difficulties that is unfolding. If you read Revelation chapter 6, you know, you also have the four horses of the apocalypse and all that. You know, you look at all these things, you realize the state of the world is not going to get better. So when you understand it from that biblical perspective, then you know how to position yourself and you know how to walk. You have to walk in that wisdom that knows the times and the seasons that we are in. Because it's imperative to be aware of where we are and be aware of where we are going and what is ahead. You know, biblically, that's the whole essence why there's Bible prophecy. I mean, things are in the Bible, not just for the fun of it, but to admonish, to guide, to instruct, and all. So we shouldn't just see it as it's just there. No, it's not just there. There's a reason why it is there. So let's just walk in this wisdom. And that's why I play this song, because fear is beginning to grip people. Yes, I mean, look at the numbers, the statistics, the inflation, the exchange rates. You know, this week alone, you know, you look at the dollar, it's like every day is falling by like 0.05 pesos. So, 0.05. So, in 2 days, that's 10 pesos. Then it's just falling. It's like free fall. And so, if you're a businessman, you just see your capital just, you know, I mean, so these are the times. These are the times we are in. But we should know that it's God that we look up to, and not man. And you see, I always like this verse, 1 Chronicles 12:32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. That's the A part. 1 Chronicles 12:32. We have to be like the children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. See, so understanding that gave them the ability to know what to do. If we don't have this understanding of the times, we'll be stressed all the time, we'll be confused all the time, we'll be depressed, we'll be fearful, the system will just manipulate and control us. But when we have the understanding of the times, like the children of Issachar, we will know how to live. We'll be confident because we know what is happening. We know the one who is in charge of what is happening. You see, so we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid because the one who has allowed these things to happen is the one you are looking up to. He knows how to take care of his own. He knows how to protect his own. He knows how to provide for his own. So we have to rather position ourselves well to know the times and to work well with God, to be in his will and all that, so that we are not influenced by the system. We are not influenced by the things we hear, the things we see, and the things we feel. But we walk in that wisdom. We need a certain type. You see, there's a certain type of wisdom that we need for the end times or for the times we are in. We just can't operate like we used to, old school, the way we do things, the way we were just living. No, no, no. The times have changed. And the new season requires a new level of thinking and a new level of knowledge and understanding. You see, and like the children of Issachar, they were unique. They weren't like all the other tribes. They had a peculiar understanding. You see, so we need that level of understanding as well, to know how to do things and to know how to live, how to behave in these uncertain times. I mean, the times are very, very uncertain. But the truth is, you know, that's the word of God. We can't stop it. But we can ask him to guide us through it, to help us through it, to carry us through the storms. As for the storms, they are coming. I mean, the truth, it's uncomfortable. I mean, because no one wants to hear, you know, gloom and doom and, you know, depressive things. But the truth also has to be said. You know, if you've been listening to me from last year, coming from middle of last year, the things I've been talking about, it's unfolding. Beginning of the year, the things I started warning about, it's unfolding. And that's the state of the world. That's the state of the world. So let's walk in that wisdom. Knowing who is in control is very important. Because this whole global warming, as I was reading in the news, extreme weather, which is going to affect or is affecting a whole lot of things in the world and all that, it's God who has allowed it to happen. And I remember many years ago, Raymond Aguilera, the Lord gave him some of the prophecies the Lord gave him. You know, that man, late 70s by now. There are some, he got them 20 years ago. He just wrote them. But now you read some of them and it's like, it's exactly what the Lord told him. Where he said, I remember one, the Lord said that extreme weather, you just turn things around. Extremes of everything. So we can really, when I look at what is happening in Europe and the US, you can easily predict and say that this year the winter is going to be something else. It's going to be extreme as well. But it's God who has allowed it to happen. They will call it climate change, but it's God who has changed the system to draw us, to draw our attention, to just let us know that he is in charge. It's not men. And that's the state of the world. So when we have this type of understanding and things are escalating, things are just getting off, and things are, you are calm because you know the one who is in charge. You know the one who is in control. I just like this song by Tola Pari. Let me just finish it and then I'll continue. I'll be back. indeed, God is in control. I just love it. I just love the words. It's just scripture that is thrown at us in the songs. There's no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here, carried away by the emotion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There's one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. God is in control. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see. Like that. And he is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. Watching over you and me. You know, let me read 2 Kings chapter 6. I just like this episode where they had this farming issue and all that, and the king was passing, and the statement that the king made is what I'm looking for. From verse 26, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and 1/4 part of a cup of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn flour or out of the winepress?" You know, the preceding verse I read creates a high inflation situation, very expensive situation, shortages and high cost of living. And I like the statement of the king. If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? That's why I say, you can't look up to the politician to help you. You can't look up to man to help you. It's God you have to look up to. We have to look up to God. He is the one who is in control. All that is happening, he is the one in charge. He is in control. He is the one we have to look up to. You see, we should not allow the system to push us to fear. And that's what I've been, you know, I've been talking about this fear thing right from the beginning of the year in various editions, because it's one big strategy the devil will always try to use against believers, especially when he knows your back is against the wall. Everything seems to be lost. Situation is hopeless, difficult times and all that. Then he now uses that manipulative tool called fear. You see, and it's dangerous to give in, because then it begins to erode your faith in God. And if care is not taken, you can even just denounce God, because it's like you just give up. So it doesn't, it's not as simple as it looks like, oh, what's the big deal with fear? Fear can cause you to leave the faith, because it erodes your faith in God. And eventually it can cause you to question God. So that's why you don't allow it to fester. You don't allow it to take roots in you. You confront it head on and resist it as much as you can. You see, and resisting it is a whole thing altogether, because you have to resist it with fear, I mean, with faith. As I did some editions on it, prayer, the word of God, and all that, positive confessions, and all these things are things you have to put in to resist the fear. Because yes, it's very, very easy to fall into the trap of fear, especially in these times. And you know, you look at the situation, that's the reality. It's just not, it's not working. The system is just going down. And you know, it goes beyond our borders. It's not just a Ghana issue. The world itself is groaning. The world is groaning. Things are just off. Lawlessness, extreme weather, this, that. It's like something is just not working in the world. But you see, in the midst of all these, it's a mandate on the Christian to stand and not to fall. These are the times we have to let our light shine. Darkness is taking over the world very fast. But there's hope, because when you read Isaiah chapter 60, I believe, yes, I think, arise, shine. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. So we are going to have a dual issue. Darkness is rising, and light will also be rising. A parallel issue. So as to what you allow to overcome you, is what you succumb to. Darkness is increasing. Are you going to give in and allow the darkness to overtake you? Or, because you also are sure that we also have the light will also shine, but we have to arise and walk in it. Are we going to allow ourselves to walk in the light? It's a choice. So it's like darkness versus light. As to where, which side of the divide you fall in, it's a choice we have to make. It's a choice that we allow ourselves to overtake us. If you allow darkness to overtake you, it will happen. But if you decide to walk and arise and shine in the light of God, that one too is possible. So, you see, we have to understand the season so that we are not caught off guard by surprises. When you hear some things happening, it shouldn't surprise us. You know, when I keep seeing these extreme things happening in the world and all, I'm not surprised, because right from the beginning of the year, I started talking about some of these things that we are going to see extreme. We are going to really, really see things this year. And so when they are unfolding, I'm not surprised, because I know they are coming and I'm expecting them to come actually. So when I see it coming, it confirms that, oh, the word of God is true, and what God said is also true. And what God has told some of his prophets is also true. So it even increases my faith in him, because I know that, whoa, then indeed there is God, and his word is sure and true. That's how, is it so? It's when you walk in that level of wisdom, you are not caught off guard, you are not surprised by whatever happens. Let the worst happen, you are not surprised, because you know God is in control. And this evening, my assignment is to encourage you to refocus. You shouldn't allow the negativities to, you know, affect your confession. Refocus, stay focused, and be in line with what the word of God says. That's the most important thing that we can do as believers in these difficult and uncertain times. Walking in his word is the most important thing we can do. So that the devil will not take advantage of the situation to get us, because he's very good at that. So we should also be aware, and it's all part of walking in the wisdom of the times. You see, so when you are walking in that wisdom, you know, you are watchful, you are alert, you know that the devil can take advantage of the situation. So if you know, that means you are not allowing him, because you're already aware that he can use this against you. So before he thinks, you have already thought. And that's the level of wisdom we should be working in these times and in these seasons. Because that's the state of the world. I mean, that's the world we are in now. The system has changed, and that's it. It's changed. And so that's it. Accept it. And then walk in the wisdom of God. And then that's it. Build your faith. We've been talking about some of these things in the course of the year, earlier editions and all that. And these are the things that will help us to survive the times. These are the things that will help us not to fall away. Because, see, the word of God also talks about the falling away. See, it's difficult times that also causes, that will cause people to fall away. So when we are on guard, knowing that these are the times that the falling away will be happening, these are the times the love of many will grow cold, then we can guard our hearts against our hearts growing cold. We can guard ourselves against falling away, because we know the season. We know the time. So just as the children of Issachar understood the times, they had understanding of the times and knew what to do. Let us seek that wisdom. Let us walk in that level of wisdom. And God himself will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us. I believe as we do these things, he would give us the guidance and the wisdom to know what to do. And I think, yeah, we can end it here. And so God willing, next week you'll come your way. This will be recorded and put on the Spirit Issues page and the Telegram group as well. So good night. I'm Eben, and thanks for being with me this evening. God bless you.